Good morning, everybody.
The Bible we're reading this morning is, I believe, Psalm 146.
There we are.
And that can be found on page 632 of your church Bibles. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will bless the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, and a warm welcome from myself as well. We are just having a one-off in Psalm 146 this week, and then our original plan was to be going through some more of Matthew up to Easter, but for various reasons we're going to be looking at Ruth for the next 4 weeks from next Sunday, so just so you know what the plan is. But today we're just going to be looking at Psalm 146, and let's pray, shall we, and ask for God's help. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is true, that is good, that you use it through the power of the Holy Spirit to grow us in our love and service of you. And we pray, Father, that you will be at work this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, I wonder, who do people trust these days? Now, who do you trust to give you a good deal? Tesco? Asda? Amazon? The local family shop running in Grays? And you trust them, but then you buy something and then the following week, you know, it always happens, doesn't it? You find that item you just bought cheaper elsewhere. Who do you trust to run our nation? Politicians? Feels like a bit of a joke when we say that these days, doesn't it? Trust is at an all-time low. All right, who do you trust to help you through a hard time? Friends, family members? And I'm sure some of them will be amazingly supportive and loving. But even with all their good intentions, sometimes they'll get things wrong. Even there, trust is sometimes limited. Some people we trust loads, other people we trust hardly at all. But those people and those things that we do trust, it is natural to talk about them, isn't it? Now, if you do find a shop that is consistently offers good deals, there's a good chance you might tell others about it. You know what I mean? If you're a football fan and your striker's getting the goals, you'll probably enjoy telling other people interested in football about how great your striker is, even if the previous week they missed a sitter. When we trust somebody or something, we'll often talk about it to others. Well, this psalm today, we get told how great God is. We get told twice in verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. And then there, it's at the very end of the psalm as well. Praise the Lord. And as we're going to see, whether we praise the Lord or not this morning boils down to an issue of trust. There's a hint of it there in verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes. And then in verse 5, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Is God trustworthy? Because if he is, we'll shout about it, we'll praise his name. And as we're going to see, he is trustworthy. He's completely trustworthy. And actually, verse 10 gives us a clue to the extent of his trustworthiness. End of verse 10 again. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. The Lord is not just trustworthy for today, but for eternity. That's worth talking about. It's worth singing about. It's worth praising God about. And the way the psalmist does this is to set out two alternatives, whether we're going to trust princes or God. And our first point this morning is untrustworthy princes. Please look at me at verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes. Now, there's lots of princes in life. I guess most of us probably think of Harry and William. I don't know about you. I guess trust there depends how much of a royalist you are. But again, trust might be at an all-time low. But we're not just talking about royalty here. It might be other people who might help us, who we rely on. It might be our parents. If we know them well, it might be our neighbours or good friends or down the social, or someone at church. And that can be really sensible at many levels. Perhaps less sensible. I mean, some people, they do trust influencers, don't they? They make life decisions based on what they see on social media. They trust the rich and the famous. Even YouTubers. People listen to them and make small, sometimes even big decisions on what they say. And here we get told, do not put your trust in them. Now, God is not saying that all these people have a bad idea. I mean, parents, friends, church, it's good to trust them. And they can help in the midst of life. But we can't put our ultimate trust in them. I know it sounds harsh, but we can't fully trust them. In fact, the biggest prince of all, I think, in the modern day world is trusting not just other people, but ourselves. I mean, we're told to trust ourselves as if we're the experts in life. Now, I like to think of myself as a little bit wise and a quite a level-headed sort of guy. And not all my decisions are bonkers. You know what I mean? I managed to persuade a man to marry me. That must have been a good one, eh? But seriously, the older I get, the less I trust myself. So whether it's ourselves or a whole raft of other possible princes, we need to recognize that they're not fully trustworthy. And why not? Verse 3, or the second half of verse 3. In human beings who cannot save, when their spirits depart, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. One of the reasons why we can't trust them is because they die. And when they die, any plans involving them, they collapse, don't they? It's like a house of cards. You take out a single card, and the whole thing comes tumbling down. I mean, going to point out the obvious. Dead people can't do verse 7, can they? They can't make wrongs right. They can't feed the hungry. They can't open blind eyes. Get point? These are untrustworthy princes. Even when at first it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes you can put trust in someone and it can feel like this is it. I mean, think of a couple when they first fall in love. And there's that crazy love and they spend hours looking into each other's eyes and they can never do any wrong. And even those parts of their personality which everyone thinks, well, that's one of their weird bits, actually you think he's cute or whatever. But then as the relationship goes on, that cute personality trait is then seen to be a flaw. And so it goes. Even the best of relationships, marriages, friends, parent-child relationships, are in some senses ultimately untrustworthy. I guess we know this deep within. But the temptation is still to trust princes or princesses. And that can include princes in the church. I mean, to trust the minister or the vicar or that good Christian friend at church. But guys, in some levels, Mike Walton is not trustworthy. For those of you who have known me for a while, I will have let you down at some point. I'm sure I will have done, and I'm sorry about that. But this side of glory is inevitable because we can't put ultimate trust in people. It's why my job is to point us to the person, the only person who we can fully trust. And that is our second person, a trustworthy God, a praiseworthy God. Please look with me at verse 5. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Now, it doesn't actually use the trust word there, does it? But it's the same idea. Where's your hope? Where's your foundation? It's the same root idea. And verse 6 wants us to set that backdrop to God that we hope in. Please look with me at verse 6. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. God made the lot, including you and me. He was there at the beginning of time, of matter, doing the whole creating business. Now, some people sometimes get jittery at this point and they think about science and stuff. And, you know, I mean, how does that fit with God making the world? And science has lots of great stuff about it and has helped us understand the world that God has made in lots of ways, and that's great. But there are many testimonies from serious scientists who half-heartedly can say, verse 6, He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. God made the lot. It's possible to do wholehearted, to science seriously, and to believe that God made it as well. And God made the world, but he also made you and me. I mean, he isn't guessing. God isn't guessing when he says what is best for humanity. God knows. He isn't guessing what we need in the midst of our 21st century problem. He knows. He isn't guessing what you and I need most. He knows. See, when God made the world, he wasn't like the cosmic clockmaker who wound up the clock, made the clock, wound it up and let it go. He's still involved. Please look with me at verse 6. He's the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. He's intimately involved. Verse 8, and the Lord gives sight to the blind, and the Lord lifts those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, the downtrodden and the marginalized. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. And that sounds amazing. And you may say, I wish that was true. Well, if we had been around 2,000 years ago, we would have seen exactly that with our very own eyes if you lived in the place we now call Israel. As Jesus gave sight to the blind, he fed the hungry, he honoured the lowly, he gave righteousness to the unrighteous, he helped the widow, he told the children to come to him whenever anyone pushed them away. A taste of what God promises forever. And remember verse 10? The Lord reigns forever. This psalm is taking the long view, not just the short term, the here and now. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those little things where you get a child, and you put a marshmallow in front of them. And then you say, if you could just leave that marshmallow there for a whole minute without eating it, you'll get another marshmallow. And then you watch this child trying to go, they really want to eat the marshmallow, but can they wait a whole minute so they can get two? And usually they cave just because they can't help themselves. But it's not just children who have got a very short-term view, when actually the longer term is what matters. People of God, will we trust in the long-term view that we will see true justice, that we will never hunger, that people will not be downtrodden, and most wonderfully of all, that we'll be free, set free from the short-termism of this world, set free to see the glory of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to give us freedom, Freedom from the ways of wickedness, verse 9. Freedom to be blessed forever. And for some of us, that will want us to cause us to praise God, to sing to him, to live for him, to shout from the rooftops how trustworthy our God is. There might be some of us, though, here wondering, this is all very well, Mike, but, and I get it that human princes can't be trusted, and that this Bible passage is telling us that God can be trusted, but for some of us, it might be, is that enough? I mean, why should we trust this dusty old book? It sounds good, but how do I know that God is real? Now, the last few weeks we've been thinking about God's word, haven't we? That it is trustworthy. But let me just mention a few others. Why we can trust God. God tells us what human beings are really like. I mean, at one level, human beings are amazing. We're creative and determined and capable of wonderful love and joy, but also sacrifice too. As the Bible says, we're made in God's image. But at another level, we're really rather grim, aren't we? We're selfish, at times unbelievably selfish. And the thoughts that pass through our minds can be awful. And sometimes those thoughts reach our lips, and sometimes they reach our actions. Our sin runs deeper than we know. And God, in his word, he tells us about this. He tells us honestly what we're like. No one else in the world is that honest with us. We can trust him. God also tells us that eternity matters and it's real. He keeps on telling us. It's there in verse 10, the Lord reigns forever. Forever is real. But we so easily get into a tunnel vision, don't we? And we only focus on what's in front of our nose. Or at the very best, the next few years. But God, in his word, he keeps on telling us that eternity matters. And actually, deep down, we know it. Even when people don't want to hear it, God keeps on telling us. It's unpopular, but he doesn't mind. He tells us what is true. He's trustworthy. What about the fact that the Bible tells us that God loves us? Is that trustworthy? Well, real love must always includes words, doesn't it? But words are important, but as we know in our loving relationships, but actions are needed too. God has shown his love in action in spades, as his son went to the cross to die for you and me. No greater love has ever been shown. God is trustworthy. And perhaps, most of all, for many of us here, it fits with our experience. We've been following the Lord Jesus Christ, some of us just for a few months, many of us for many years or even decades. And we have seen time and time again that the Lord is trustworthy as we long to live for him day by day. And that's the God of 146. And as we trust him, he will never let us down. In fact, it will do the very opposite. It will cause us to praise him now and forever. In the words of verse 1, praise the Lord, my soul. Let's pray. Father God, we're sorry that we do put ultimate trust in other people and institutions and things, Father, which just can't deliver because they're not meant to deliver. Even if they're good things, they're not places to put our ultimate trust. It is only, we're being made to trust in you, our God, our Saviour, our life sustainer. And Father, we do pray that you would grow that trust in us day by day. And as that happens, may we praise you more wholeheartedly. Yes, when we're together on at church on Sunday, when we're singing your praises together, but also just during the week, in our minds, in our hearts, lifting you up and giving thanks to you for who you are and how you wonderfully and amazingly include us in your plans. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.